Good evening. Wednesday night it is. Wednesday night. It's 7 o'clock. We're on the West Coast, and it's still sunny outside.
It's gorgeous.
It is gorgeous. It is gorgeous. It is gorgeous. We're not going to tell you where we live exactly, but we live in God's country, and it's perfect weather up here.
It's cool and breezy and lovely.
Lovely, lovely, lovely. And we're glad that you are where you are.
Excellent choice. Be where you are.
And with that note, so Pat, here's the problem, okay?
Oh, we're going to get a definition of the problem to start.
Yeah, that's correct.
Fantastic.
So
Molliers.
We started this some time ago, and the first part of the book talks about readings 1-5.
Yeah.
Okay, it says the readings 1-5.
It does.
And then it slips into the fourth chamber.
It does.
And that has a header on it, Manifestation of the Friendly Guides.
Mm-hmm.
So we've shifted off something called the readings, and now we're in the chambers.
Mm-hmm.
Can you help me out with that a little bit?
A little bit. The readings, plural, 1-5, take place during the imminent, almost going to be very soon, death moment, and the moment of death, and the 2 days following death. So there are 3 days of readings, 1-5, which occur. Day one is day of death, readings 1-4. Day two, reading 4. Day three, reading, if I'm not mistaken, and I don't have this all wonky, which is a reason why we have this lovely little
chart,
which is before something that we have to look at first, which I don't find in this book. It's called Labyrinth Reading Schedule. And it says, day in cycle, reading, and in the middle it says macrodimensional coordinates, sort of like map coordinates. So the day, if we could possibly think about the fact that the readings are being done by human beings, theoretically, still in manifestation, still in a lifetime, an HDM, and therefore still relating to, quote, days, Earth time, planetary time, human dimension. So day of moment of death, day following death, also known as terminus, and third day. Third day is actually the second day after death, but it's called third day because the readings start on day of moment of death. That's day one. So readings 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 occur on the day of death. Reading 4 occurs on the second day, the day after death. And reading 4 occurs on the third day. That's the second day after death, but it's the third day. Therefore, when you go to fourth day, you're entering fourth chamber. So we have switched from readings to chambers, and the reason why that is because if you think about it, the clear light confrontation readings are not a manifestation of anything, because clear light is characterless, formless, etc. So there's no chamber that holds clear light, therefore it is not a chamber. But when you are passing into chambers, it is named the fourth chamber because it is assumed that you were somewhere before you were in the fourth chamber. And you might have been in the same somewhere for 3, quote, days, or you could have been in 3 different somewheres until the fourth chamber. But that's why it's named that way.
So you're saying that the guy is sitting there about to die.
Yeah.
And the Lama's reading for him.
Yeah.
And then he dies.
Yeah.
But the body is still there, right?
It is definitely there.
So the readings are to this body that dies and is separating from the, something separating from the physical. And then there's a clear and distinct time we say, oh, now you are in the chambers.
We do say that.
And the reason I'm bringing this up,
yes,
is once again, and we're going to do this a lot, is we're orienting ourselves to where we are. Now, we, and Susan, are you on the line? Not at the moment. But I want to orient ourselves to where we're at, because we don't have the direct experience of going through the death chamber right now.
Yes, we're not noticing, we're not having our awareness, our experiential awareness is not oriented in that form at the moment.
And then we enter into, in the fourth chamber,
mm-hmm.
at the header of it says, manifestations of friendly guide. So now I've died, the body has died, it's gone, I can't use the body anymore, and now I'm in this place called manifestation of the friendly guides. I can't emphasize that anymore, because the reading that I, the work I'm doing on this one, I am thinking about it, because
yes.
I am thinking
yes.
about it,
yes.
and it's saying that, okay, now you are the voyager, and you spent a lot of time on that fourth chamber, Pat, because, and for good reason, and there's, if you want to work with this material, and you really want to put some time into it, every time you open the book, read the fourth chamber again. Read the fourth chamber, and then go to wherever the heck you're at. Because it'll deepen in you what I'm talking about here, this transition. Now I am the voyager.
Mm-hmm.
Now, because the body is no longer a factor in this transition.
Correct. It is not either the anchor, the orbit, the compass.
Well,
it actually has, you have no relationship to either the body or the lifetime or the orientation as a human being in a form.
Okay.
So you don't have any of that guidance.
And now we've become, and now we are without that orientation, and we're in this new orientation called, I am a voyager. We, as readers and studiers of these macro dimensions, we're putting ourselves in a position to consider, what is it like to be the voyager? What is it like to be the voyager? And now we're reading this material, we've gone through 4 through 7, we knocked
mm-hmm.
around pretty good, and we're going to look at 8 and 9 tonight, maybe 10, but 8 and 9 for sure. And the point of it is where are you? What is the orientation that we are in the reading? And it's a question that you should ask all the time. You get up in the morning, you go out and you do your thing. You know, you come back like some of us, well, okay, some of you, from your 3-mile run in the morning.
Mm.
And, you know, you start your day off, but you also ask, where am I? What chamber am I in? Where am I?
Mm-hmm.
Just ask the question.
Mm-hmm.
Because where are you coming from? As your day begins and you launch that day forward, and if you start to do that, what you're going to start noticing, you're going to start noticing things.
I have 2 suggestions. Always formulate the question, where do I seem to be now? What does it look like to me now? So both of those questions give you a different formulation.
Right.
And secondly,
well,
if you have the point of view, which I know many people have developed over the eons, we could say, of the gaming cycle where you take on a character, you take on a role, you take on a functionality, you take on a certain posture in a game, and you move through that game holding that posture. That's also similar to something we used to do as children, which was called make-believe. Make-believe, you set up your parameters, and you said, oh, right, we're playing cowboys and Indians, or we're cops and robbers, or, you know, magic princess, or whatever it was. You already had some picture of what that world was like. Well, just like David said, in chamber four, fourth chamber describes what some of those parameters are. So just do like you did as a kid. Do make-believe. What is this world made of? And the first sentence says, I recognize familiar phenomenal aspects of the macrodimensional world. You do recognize it. You know you do because you're using your Voyager sentence.
What does
it look like to me now? Where do I seem to be?
What does it look like to me now? Where do I seem to be? We have an unusual advantage over many, many, many seekers. An unusual advantage. And that advantage is that how many people are here tonight online? 10, 12, 15 people. And there's 5 people here. And as Voyagers, as you said, it's points on a map, right? Where am I on the map? And we have an ability then to share back with our colleagues, because that's a big issue. The advantage, the giant issue that we have, the giant advantage, is that we have colleagues at this moment. And it appears that those colleagues can interact with us in such a way that they can give us notations about what the map looks like from where they're at.
Yes.
So I don't know how many different ways I'm going to be able to say it, but I'm going to say it in 50 different ways. And what I'm saying over and over again is we are Voyagers. And we've got a book sitting here, the American Book of the Dead, which is translated into a contemporary document by E.J. Gold that gives us guides. It's like street signs.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
It's like a street sign in a city that you may have never been in. You have a little bit of an idea of about where you're trying to go. Maybe you do, but you're going to be able to see some street signs. So what I'm looking for is I'm interested in feedback. What did you see?
Yeah.
What did you see when you went out into the town? What did you notice? What street signs became apparent to you when you went out into the town? What was the color of the sky? So we're reading this, but we're Voyagers and we're working together as a group. And so what I'm trying to say is that we have an opportunity to share with one another right now that this is a lifetime opportunity. It really is.
Oh, yeah.
Okay?
And for many, 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 many of us, it's probably the only one that we can recall at the moment is the lifetime we're currently in, if we can actually manage that. And therefore, you have to bring your attention not only to the moment, but you have to bring your attention into the moment of your Voyager experience. You have to hold it. You have to allow it to be with you, and then you have to hold it in front of you and be present with you. With it.
How are we doing on the, do we need to read anything on the log?
Questions? Comments?
Nothing
Susan
much really
on the
log.
Hi, Susan.
Hi there. No, mostly just a roll call so far.
Okay, good. Excellent. So, let's turn in our hymnals now to the
chamber.
chamber.
And we remember why it's called chamber now and not reading.
Yeah. In the technical, I'll bring it next time, but in the technical translations of the Tibetan,
mm-hmm.
I mean literally Tibetan, these are the, I think this is the fifth day. I'll do the math.
Yeah.
But they're common in that.
Yeah.
You know. I'll share with you the ones that I'm working with because it's interesting anyway. It's of interest. So we're in the eighth chamber.
Thank you.
Okay. We're in the eighth chamber. So now the voyagers come to the eighth chamber. And the eighth chamber, once again, it's like going to AAA and they hand you a map, right?
Yes, exactly.
And you go, I'm going to Carmel. And they'll say, well, here's a street map of Carmel.
Mm-hmm.
And you just have to tell them where you're going to be. Right now we're in the eighth chamber.
They actually call it a triptych.
A triptych.
They hand you something and it's got some of the points of interest and, you know, where the best hotels or the, you know, ones in your price range and the coffee shops and, yeah, it's a triptych.
So we're putting on a different set of eyes, and the reason we're doing it is because we can.
Okay.
Because we're able to do that together, and because we can do it together, we can do it, and therefore we have some work to do. It's like, what service can we provide? And we always talk about being service to others.
Yes.
You know, you can say, well, I'm going to go feed the hungry, and that's one thing. But if you're able to do the kind of work that we're talking about right now, if you're able to do that, then thus you should do it and hand that one to each other here. So I'm looking for what you have to say to me and share with me, and I'll share what I've come across as well.
Good.
Okay.
I like it.
All right. So tell me a little bit about the eighth chamber here.
Well.
And we have Jana here too.
Jana's with us, and fading Janet is good. Good enough.
Yes,
if you look, as we have suggested before, at those appendices in the back, and you start really using your quote, color wheel, color chart, or however you like to think of it. I just got to do a art thing on Sunday, so I still have the art formulation in my brain.
Oh, good.
But the color of the radiation for the particular chamber that we're looking at here is green. And it is a green that is also named as the ray that erases envy, jealousy, rivalry, and one that's not named in the chamber, competitiveness. If you think about an aspect of your habits that are competitiveness, that's not exactly the same as envy or jealousy, but it's in the same vein.
It arises from the same plot of land. In
yeah,
a sense.
Or the same stimulus, or however you think of it. So when you see the description of those things in the appendices that list the tendencies erased by the rays coming from the consciousness components, the consciousness component, again, is concept. You start to feel a bit smarter. Jana is letting us know this. Yeah.
So once again, where are we? We are in a chamber called Manifestation with Friendly Guides.
Guides.
So we're being helped, right?
We are being assisted. We are being supported.
So these guys are trying to give us a little bit of a helping hand here.
Helping hand.
And so what do they do?
They give us what we need to get rid of what's in our way, what's preventing us. from being absorbed through the clear light.
And they're sitting there waving a big red flag or green flag.
Green flag.
They're saying, here's what you got to do, because when if you're here, because you are here, because it's the eighth chamber, then you're coming here because you need help in this manifestation. I got that help.
Yeah. It's
I
so,
got it.
It's so great. It says there's still something that can be done to get myself out of this inevitable downslide. And it says, the help that is being given is from the guide, almighty conqueror, the element air. So it means any component that you need to have in order to maintain your feeling of association, gratefulness, appreciation, even just recognition. Ah, it's a guide. It's air. It's green. It's the conqueror, and it's concept. You know, any of these things would take you where you need to go. Any part of that.
So you wind up in this chamber. You wind up in this because you go, oh, here's a moment of liberation. Oh, shoot. I've got too much.
Oops.
I just suddenly realized I've got too much jealousy, too much envy. What am I going to do? And this guy raises his hand and says, I got some help.
I got the green flag.
So it's very important here not to think in terms of the Christian concept of sin.
Oh.
That, oh, you're jealous, you're an envious
person.
Yeah,
you're bad.
That is
gonna be
not helpful at all. But it's simply a helpfulness that to overcome and cleanse, and the cleansing radiation of the dazzling green light.
Yeah.
Can help at this moment in your voyage. Okay? So that's the context. Can we allow ourselves to take advantage of the help?
Well, step one, as it says in paragraph one, is I wasn't able to let go of these habits and tendencies. And I haven't let them be dissolved yet. And I've wandered this far. And there's still something that can be done. So it is important to be acknowledging that the chamber holds within it the grace and the support that would give you what you need to pop out of that chamber.
Of that particular thing.
Exactly.
It has the ways and means.
Mm-hmm.
It's the ways and means to solve the conundrum presented by this particular chamber.
There you go.
Okay? It's the ways and means offered by the friendly guides.
Mm-hmm.
They're helping. How then can we avail ourselves of that help?
Definitely. Now we're down to what are the practices of the attentive voyager to making good use of the offer of help from the guide. By the way, do you see the green? I finally saw it in here. I've been looking.
Yeah.
It's right there. It's on that desk back there in the shape of the lamp shade. Yeah, you can turn it on, but it's like, remember last week I was looking for it, I said I couldn't find it, but there it is, right over there. So, what is the manner in which you can make use of the guide? That's the question here now.
We do have a question, too.
Say something, go ahead.
Gnostic Man is asking, can you clarify the term concept? Means in this context.
Yeah.
Can you clarify the term concept being used in this context?
Yes.
here's what I got from it in this chamber and in the previous one with the element of fire,
mm-hmm.
where there's the same idea comes up. And for me, it's the blinding clarity of what in fact is happening. It's the absolute clarity of those tendencies towards jealousy, envy, and intrigue that come up. Concept is an amazing thing, and
concept is beyond sense. It is formulation. Formulation pre... Exactly.
Perception has led,
led to a concept.
And that may be from the deep.
Do you want to give this? That's what I was thinking, is to give her the phone.
Yes.
And tell her show her how to turn it on and off.
Say the last part again, yeah.
What did I say the last part again? Oh, the concept. Well, the chamber is actually made of concept. It the idea is perception has preceded it. Concept is like gone above it. You found something. There's a eureka feeling. There may be all this other stuff about comparisons or, you know, envy and all that. But believe me, when that green light goes on, people really feel refreshed, and it does take off some of that other stuff. So the perception part may be that you may have perceived or apperceived your whole situation in such a way that the eighth chamber will actually be refreshing, and the Almighty Conqueror will be reassuring.
So you're actually using some of the language that I was thinking a minute ago, which is you have a eureka moment when you get something.
Yeah, you get it. The concept comes through.
That's right.
And suddenly that can be exciting for the Voyager.
Yes. You get the green light, you get the go-ahead, you get the comprehension.
It's not a red light or anything.
It's not a red light, it's a go. It's a go light.
And I think what I was thinking is that when you get there, it's like then you know where you are in a sense.
Yeah.
And then you can say, oh, good, I am here. Let me now be penetrated by that green, the dazzling green.
You would want that because it's also conception. You don't want to take rebirth per se as the jealous God world. You
correct.
Just don't want to move into their world.
Yeah. And that's the soft red light, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you don't want to go there. I'm trying to find the wording.
But you might be welcomed.
You will be welcomed.
Along with the brilliant green radiation, I feel a soft red light coming from the dimension of purgatory. It is produced from the tendency to feel jealousy toward others.
Oh, there we go, yeah.
And the habitual desire to engage in intrigue. And this is the point that I think is so critical here. Repulsion and disgust, even deliberately aroused, will only make it worse. So that is not a way to avoid soft red light pull. You can't just resist. That's not going to do it. You have to welcome the green in order to not be vulnerable to the red.
Very good. Very good.
Yeah,
the thing is that you would be pulled towards the red. You'd feel yourself drifting. Oh, because that's where they all are, right? The concept itself, the light, is very pure and empty in its way.
It is.
Yes.
If you
could, it's an air.
Yeah.
Totally empty, yeah. But it's also a cleansing radiation.
So if you know that you're in the Bardos and traveling through those cleansing radiations, you won't have that tendency to take rebirth each time you go to a new chamber, although the tendency normally would be, I need to fit in here somehow. don't have to.
I've been in here somehow, and you know what it says? It gives you the instruction for how to actually do that.
Yeah.
Actually, the whole big paragraph about what the green light does dissolve and the soft red light looking inviting and all that, the last sentence says, I recognize the brilliant green light as my ally.
Yeah, there you go.
Wisdom itself. That means, is that Harry on there, or is that?
That was Gnostic Man.
Gnostic Man, yeah. I heard you there. Yeah. That's your only actual action that you can take is not pushing away and not giving in. The action that you take is you recognize the green radiation as your ally.
Huge.
It's your buddy. It's your karma buddy.
So we're in life. Okay, here
mm-hmm.
we are. We're in this particular manifestation. And once again, how do I manifest this in my life? How do I recognize the green light as my ally? What do I do today, tonight, when I leave, when I'm finished here? How do I go forth and deepen that recognition that the green light is my ally? Don't get drawn into the soft red light. So that's the ways and means that we need to develop as individuals. We need to develop the ways and means on how to do that as we go through our day. Right now, which leaves me in about one or two chambers, right now I'm sticking with color. So when I see the green, I'm just saying, that's a reminding factor for me. It's a reminding factor that this whole thing of envy, intrigue, repulsion, jealousy is around somewhere. But the green, dazzling green light it's an ally to me. That's where I go.
That's a very good reminder, and I'm remembering something from my dear friend, Mr. Hart, who used to say when he would put his hands in his pocket and look at the money that was there and then move it to the other pocket and say, it's just energy. It can flow. I don't have to hold on to it. And I thought, oh yes, if I remember any piece of money that I ever see is the flow of energy and it holds because we have green, or it used to be green backs and green dollars and blah, 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 green. I always think money equals green and green equals energy and the flow of force. And that reminds me, right, I don't have to be identified with whatever it is, you know, the holding on. So it's not the holding on. It's the letting it flow.
Jumping ahead a little bit and
to
the next paragraph.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, and I love the choice of words, wandering in the sixth lower dimension. Wandering in the sixth because of the power of jealousy on the radiant path of life and all performing wisdom. May I be led by the guide of the labyrinth. May the beloved be my protector. May I be led safely across the shocking ambush of the labyrinth, and may I be placed in the state of pure and shining void. So if I'm wandering, I'm caught in the power of jealousy, I'm caught in that.
Mm-hmm.
But if I am able to recognize.
Yes. The green light as my ally.
If I'm able to recognize the green light as my ally, then I'm not wandering. I'm not floating in a sense.
Right.
I'm focused.
Definitely paying attention, not lost. Wandering and lost are sort of interchangeable sometimes.
Yeah.
Wandering implies without bearings.
And direction.
Correct. And maybe not using your map. And maybe possibly not even recognizing the signs when they occur.
Correct.
Yeah.
So can we develop ways and means, can we develop signs that can help us through this shocking ambush of the labyrinth?
Yeah.
And maybe for right now we can just say, well, if I see a dazzling green light,
mm-hmm.
maybe I can just use that as a reminding factor for this chamber
mm-hmm.
right now. And see how let's get some notes from the path to see from people on the path to see what happens.
Exactly.
Does that work for you? Does anything work for you in this regard? In the
one more.
Go ahead.
So there was a particular color of paper that was used for typing some of the draft copies of some of EJ's books.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
So?
Hmm? No. Some of the original text was typed into a Compugraphic machine, but before that, it was an IBM correcting Selectric. And there was a color of paper that was used for the draft copy before it was made camera ready, the draft copy. And that's what it meant. It meant it was that version. Yeah. But it was a color.
Right. Got it.
It was a color.
Yeah. If it was on that paper, it meant it was that version.
Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, that's... We don't use color that much anymore, do we? I mean, color is all around us, but I don't know that we're using it.
In some situations you do. Like, for instance, when we had the class on the five wishes.
Yes.
You know, there's specific colors of paper
mm-hmm.
that the EMP look for
mm-hmm.
when they come in your house.
Mm-hmm.
And they see that.
Right.
And then they'll know what to do.
They'll know what to do because they recognize that. That's one of the clues.
So it becomes universal. We want to make some of these signposts as voyagers more readily available to us as a helper.
We want to magnify them
we
a little bit
magnify
so
them.
That they're not so difficult to recognize. Good one. Did you pick that thing up and talking to it? That was a very, that's appropriate. That's a good clue.
Stained glass windows? Yeah. Those would be the good kind of light.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that would just be glass with light shining through it, right?
Is Path World on?
You could even make it big enough to sit in.
Well, Path World.
You could, yeah. She also has labyrinths. So.
She has a labyrinth on her property. She can talk about maybe next time you make a glass offering, Path World. You know, think of it, the eighth chamber, the seventh chamber, the sixth chamber. What's that? Glasses of water.
Glasses of water.
Of water.
Clear glasses.
Or candle holders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, the votives.
Yeah, so there's ways to do it, which is to have primary colors
mm-hmm.
for your votive candles, for the water you drink, etc. It's a very interesting point. So if I got a green, bright green glass to drink, it might help dissolve some of the tendencies toward intrigue.
Well, you know, Drew Crystal did a whole lot of work using prismatic glass, non-refracting. And the glass pieces themselves had cleansing properties to them and also putting some of the glass pieces together with some of the ceramics created an entire resonating chamber for healing purposes. So, yeah, I remember. Yes,
gels. So we can be creative. If there's, for instance, if you think you have work with anger, which is, I think, the previous chamber,
mm-hmm. yeah.
you can work with designing a chamber that helps you with that. Or if you have, if jealousy and envy come up a lot, intrigue comes up a lot, maybe you should consider constructing a space that has this dazzling green light of radiation cleansing. Good point. Great point.
Yeah. Yeah. Reminders, in whatever fashion we require them, actually means even if we don't construct them physically ourselves, we have to construct them internally so that they do the job. Because if they just sit on the shelf, I mean, you know, we have a lot of tools lying around that we don't necessarily pick up and use all the time. You have to make the construct internally, even if you have the external representation of it. So.
Nice.
You repeat what she said. She didn't have the phone.
She said, Janice saying... Let's hope I don't have to eat lime jello. I was actually going to go buy some for you when we're done here. A whole boatload of it.
Take a lime jello and try and bite
through it. So in the Tibetan translations at this point, the Lama, basically, this is not the reading, but the commentary between says, it's impossible that you aren't fully liberated at this point.
Oh, yeah.
It's impossible.
Yeah.
You're given, like, this incredible help. It's just impossible that you weren't liberated fully. And then he goes on and says, but in case you weren't, here's the nice chamber.
Yes.
Just in case.
Just in case. Yes, because... It says at the end of the eighth chamber, after that lovely wandering poem, if I have concentrated my attention sincerely and with humility, I will merge into the heart of the beloved in a rainbow bridge of light and attain liberation. Within the voidness of the void. Ninth chamber, no matter how compelling my karmic connections, no matter how powerful my desires, I should by now have been liberated by all these confrontations with the dissolving radiations. Semicolon, however.
However, just in case. Now, I'm going to just put a sidebar for a minute here.
Thank you.
And the sidebar is this. You may say, how can I measure whether or not I'm making progress here?
Mm-hmm.
How can I know that this is working for me? The answer is you can't. Unless you put it into action.
Mm-hmm.
If you start to work with it, then at least you have the matrix in which to pose the question. Because you start here, if you start working with the material in an active way like that, like if you set out and you constructed a chamber that can emanate dazzling green light, that effort in itself will hone your attention into that, the cleansing radiation and what the soft red light is, which is the jealousy, envy, and intrigue. It will hone your attention to that. So you go down the road, that's what you'll see, and you'll notice it. And these are steps of gradualism. They're steps of gradualism born out of clear and distinct efforts.
Yeah.
That make sense?
Totally.
Okay.
And I'm wondering if there's any comments that we need to
Susan?
Pay attention to. I don't want to go past them.
Well, the comments from the seventh chamber, as we were talking about the green glass, Path Rogue said, I can make something. And then Pogletrick said, or where to verse the right? I believe it's a stone.
It's the same one?
To where?
Yes.
To verse the right.
Put it on, like clothing, wear it? Is that the word?
Yeah, I would assume he means wearing the color.
Wear the colors. Excellent.
I don't know if it's a stone or not, but...
Yeah.
Is that a stone, puzzle tricks? For instance, if you work with... I've been working with gems lately. I've gotten... You've been with me a couple of times. You know, you pick up certain stones that work with, that are, have a particular emanation that works for you in a certain way.
And it's a gemstone. It's called
it is chrome a gemstone.
Diosphide. Chrome
okay.
Diosphide.
Okay. I'll look at the login. There's actually a gem shop here in town that, if it exists, she'll know about it. Whether she has it or not is another
mm-hmm.
story. Fabulous, Jim. You've been there.
The suggestion for wearing the colors is, of course, totally appropriate. It's the kind of thing that is actually the easiest modality to immerse yourself in, because for women, of course, you just need to get a series of scarves, and you've got it. For men, you can do socks. I mean, you can do this in a very understated manner. You don't have to display your colors, sort of like gang colors. You don't have to show your colors, but you can pick them up when you put them on in the morning and be aware of what it is that you're putting on. What are you dressing yourself in? This is what I was talking
right.
about earlier when I was saying when you play make-believe. Well, we also called it dress-up, where you put on, you know, a bunch of scarves and it turns into all these various childhood characters, make-believe. These colors, quote, radiations, can also be assigned to days. As a matter of fact, there are many cultures that hold
nice.
A color per day. Talk to the Steiner people, that's all worked out with them. Anyway, yeah, the wearing of the reminder, that's a beautiful one.
Great concept.
Perfect. I mean, yeah.
And stones, I mean, you know, wearing necklaces.
Exactly,
that,
yes.
You
know, you
know,
the reminders.
So it's finding ways and means and applying them. That's the key here. And then report back to us. See what, report back to us as a group. Because maybe you're going to find something. Maybe for you it's a candle.
Can't you also notice what you're running into that day?
That's absolutely,
yes.
Susan. That's
I
huge.
Mean,
yes.
Rather than planning it, notice, wow, this has been a really yellow day. Or
yes, yeah, a yellow day, or it's whatever its particular characteristic might be.
Right.
The point is, let's begin putting on this different set of eyes and walk forth in that way.
Cat is dressed for the seventh chamber, I think.
Didn't hear you.
Oh, I said, is Pat not dressed for the seventh chamber?
Pat? Red.
Yes.
Somewhat.
Yeah. I have two sets of clear light readings that I'm doing, and I'm conjuncting them with some healing readings. And so some days I actually have to decide, is it this or that, or is there some way I can do more than one? So, yeah. I'll tell you, it makes your personal shopping a hell of a lot easier if you only use the primary colors or their equivalent. Lands in, yeah. You can just do the primary colors and you just, you know, you stop all of this fashion stuff and work with the radiations, and it makes it way easier. You have another one there, Dan?
No, not online.
Phone?
Not many comments on the chat room tonight.
Yeah, we're going to hear a live one now from Dan.
Well, I just noticed that the chambers are structured in a certain way, at least so far, so that you're instructed to go toward the brilliant light and avoid the comforting, smoky light in the hope that, or in the intention that you'll be liberated in that process. And then the next chamber says that you should be liberated by now, but in case that didn't happen, so each chamber is an opportunity for liberation, but the alternative is presented as it were to be sucked into one of the lower worlds. But if you've been sucked into a lower world, do you actually get to the next chamber, if you're in the next chamber, then that means you haven't been liberated, but you also haven't been sucked into the lower world.
And you haven't been sucked in. You did not take rebirth in the lower dimensions. So you're still the Voyager. You didn't take rebirth. It's a huge point as we go through this.
Yeah.
Not to design your rebirth rather than get sucked into the soft red light.
Well,
Jen is saying you'll feel a little uncertain about not taking rebirth. Each chamber will want to have the opportunity to reboost you, yes, to send you into a lower dimension. Yes. Stay with the bright light.
So I guess it seems as though it's not simply an either-or choice, because there is this alternative of simply going from one chamber to the next, I guess I don't quite understand it, because it seems like the choice is between either liberation or rebirth, and it isn't quite that simple.
No, it's not that simple, and you probably don't have the book in your hand as a Voyager.
You probably...
You're navigating.
Don't have at all. You just are. What you are is what determines where you end up.
And you are... if we are soaked with the human tendencies of jealousy, intrigue, envy, if you're soaked with that, then you're going to be strongly pulled into the world of the soft red light, and to take rebirth there in the never-ending cycle of that. But at this moment, the friendly guides are offering you a hand. You say, no, don't go there. Here's the brilliant, dazzling, cleansing radiation, which is not comfortable. By definition, it is not comfortable.
Right.
In those times, if you hold yourself there even 1 second, you can hold yourself there and not take that rebirth. You may not have been liberated yet, but you might not be sucked into the soft red light as well. Okay?
There's a difficulty that we have with reading a text in a linear fashion and having things named, you know, fourth, fifth, sixth,
right.
Seventh. You have in a certain way to always remember that all of this is all at the same time. And what we've done here is describe it in bits and pieces as if it were strung out over, quote, 49 days. That is a
construct.
A construct for convenience sake of the human mind that is reading the book. So you have to remember that's what this is. This is a book. But what the experience of the Voyager is one, quote, present time, if you can put it like that, or eternal time, or no time, or however you want to say it. So there isn't any consecutiveness of days. It's all included, all inclusive, and
that's right.
Do you see now?
Okay.
So in a certain way, your question only comes up if you're in the linear. Yeah, okay, good.
Yeah.
Good. And thank you for bringing it up, because there's only certain points at which we can jump in there, and that was a good one to help bring that across.
And we do have another question.
Go ahead, Susan.
Okay, this is from Mark Roach. It would seem how much you are aware of what you are also affects where you end up.
Absolutely, Mark. You know, this is the whole process of all of the work we're doing with this material in that EJ has offered, is some sense of self-awareness. Can we begin to reflect on ourselves? And some of us have different tendencies. That's just the way it works. That's just the way it works when a group of people come together. And self-reflection then will help you avoid that ambush in the labyrinth, because you'll know it's coming. Because, I mean, I can tell you right now certain giant hooks that are big stainless steel hooks that are waiting to grab me. And you know, like I said, in a certain way, I know that they're coming up. Do I know that I cannot get sucked down into them? I don't know that. It's just like if you've ever been in an auto accident, which Susan has given us some stories about. If you've ever been, how do you panic? You don't really know until you do it, until you're there.
So
until we're there, we don't know.
You panic until it's inevitable.
Pardon?
And then you stop panicking.
What'd you say?
Can you say it again, because we didn't hear you?
I said you panic until you know it's inevitable.
Well, the body is going to panic, and the adrenaline will
and
force
then,
into the body.
Once you know it's for sure, everything gets very calm and quiet.
Yeah, and I've seen some incredible responses from people in the midst of what appears to be an accident or about to happen, and how they respond, and they are able to respond in certain ways. All I'm saying is the jury is out on me and how I will react when I'm hit with the soft red light or the smoky,
shocking ambush in whatever form.
The shocking ambush in whatever form, because looks to me a lot like I'm the guy that panics a lot. I panic when it gets to that. So how do I prepare myself? It has a lot to do with what Mark is saying.
Self-awareness.
And can I not panic just slightly less the next time? Yeah, I can. I have evidence that it can change. Why? Because I started to understand who I was. I've taken that on the road. I've experimented with it, and it gets a little better.
Mm-hmm.
But when I'm in the middle of the big ball game, we'll see.
Well, one thing we know for sure, and that is that next week we will all be here once again, and we will be working with...
Well, I'd like us to really read Chambers 9 and 10.
There we go.
Okay, that's a bit of... That's a meal, okay?
Yes, banquet.
It's a big banquet
it's
there.
It's a banquet.
So read 9 and 10 and see how it digests for you a little bit. And we're going to work our way through those. Because what happens after that again? Oh.
Ooh.
Then it says something here. Manifestations of the unresponsive guides.
Yes, and we were very careful in the English language not to use unfriendly. There was the not-so-friendly guides, which got changed to the unresponsive guides. It is the very same hallway, but different level of energy. Different vibrational stuff.
Thank you. Is that about it, Susan? Are we doing okay?
Yes. We've got everything.
Thank you. So thanks for coming this evening. We'll look forward to seeing you next week. Good night.
Good night.